Okay, hello everybody. We are glad to be back. Thank you so much for tuning in continuation of our webinar Bible study. This is part 4A tonight. And Rob, can you please lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. Our Heavenly and Gracious Father, I give you thanks for this day of rest, this day to come together and to study your word. Father, I just thank you for this time. I ask that you bless it, nourish our hearts and our minds, and open us up to the things that you are wishing to teach us and show us. Father, I just pray that you bind any distractions, any interruptions, so that we can focus on the message that you have for each of us, Father. Thank you so much for this opportunity to learn more and to draw closer to you. In Christ's name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Last week we started with the punishment that was placed upon Adam and Eve, and we discussed, I think mainly we discussed the punishment of the serpent, and this week we are going to begin with the curse upon the woman. The first curse was on the serpent, and then the second was upon the woman. And that is from Genesis chapter 3:16. And I want to read that for all of us. To the woman, he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. Now, when our first parents committed sin by disobeying God in the Garden of Eden, God Almighty, as we know, sin cannot go unpunished. God pronounced a curse upon them, and there upon also the woman. But what we said the last time was, whenever God's curse in anything that we do wrong, and when God is punishing, within his punishment, we know fully well that his blessing is within it. And I want us to be very, 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 very careful about this. This is the key part of what we do. Within God's punishment stands his blessing. Now, what we just read in chapter 3:16-17, we found out that there were two major punishments on the woman. Because of her disobedience, one, in pain, she will give birth to children. And then the second part, the second punishment, is in spite of all the modern developments in medicine, we all know when a woman is in a liver pain, that the pain is always there. But the second punishment is this, and this is what we are going to study thoroughly tonight, because this is a major area of discussion. Instead of her desire to be submissive to God by supporting her husband, will now be expressed in strife with her husband. That's two punishments. One, in pain in childbirth. Two, strive to dominate her husband. Wow. This is the key point. Now, what I brought in this text is that there was a research that came up. In fact, I did not paraphrase anything because I wanted to bring it just as it was presented by the person who did the research. And the researcher was not a man. That's one good thing about it. The researcher was a woman. And her name is Susan Foer. Susan Foer published this research in the Westminster Theological Seminary Journal. That is a major seminary in the world. She published that in that journal, and it was accepted. And many scholars have looked at her research, and they discovered that there are some errors that have been going on from time to time in certain area of translation. We also know that translation has a problem, all right? Because it is from different language into another. And so there might be issues that we will come across in translation. But Susan Ball's research, the title of her research is, What is the Woman's Desire? And in this research, she laid out three different interpretations. Now, what we are going to focus on tonight is the word desire. Your desire that is mentioned in this text, the word desire, it is called teshuka in the Hebrew language. The Hebrew call it teshuka. What is it? In time past, many people give wrong interpretations, and this interpretation has been going on from time to time. Let me give you three. One is frequently equated with sexual desire. Oh, the woman will be craving for her husband. The woman will be craving for her husband. And so that is a desire. That's what many, many translators have said. And the second one is viewed as the desire that makes her the willing mate. See, another group say, no, that's not only that, but the desire that makes her the willing mate. Many of you know Calvin. Calvin says that Genesis 3:16b means that a woman will desire only what her husband desires, and that she will have no command of herself. Now, this is what John Calvin said. But Susan Foer, this lady was not satisfied with those three interpretations. So she went in deep in searching the scripture and the text, making major exegesis of the text. Now she came out with an answer. And the problem that been along the way in giving wrong interpretation has been whatever other traditional scholars have accepted, many people do not want to change from it. Because the moment you change, there might be a problem. And so it's an issue. But this lady said, no, what is written in that text is not what Calvin has said. It's not what the others have said, to say she would be craving for her husband on sexual desire or other things. But when you look at the root meaning of the word in Arabic, it means her desire is to dominate her husband. Her desire is to dominate her husband. The rule of the husband is not a result of a punishment of sins. Now, a man as the house of the as the head of the household is not new. I mean, when you look at it in Genesis, God himself talked about it. Man is the head. But the ruling aspect is that the fall. Now, let me bring us back to the first lesson. What the fall brought when Adam and his wife were created and placed in the Garden of Eden, they were partner. And we discuss in depth the word Ezer in Hebrew. It does not mean the woman is inferior. The woman is a partner. Now, Ezra, there are many references in the Bible that we talk about when we're discussing that text. That on many occasions, the psalmist says, God is my Ezra. And your Ezra is somebody who can do the things that you are unable to do. Somebody who will help you out, prop you out, help you to succeed. That person is your Ezra. So in a sense, the woman was a partner in ministry to the man in the Garden of Eden. But when the fall came in, it put them a loggerhead. This is what Susan Fowle is discussing in her research. And to be honest with you, many great researchers have gone through what she did, and they agreed with her conclusion. When I read her materials, when I was writing my first book, I said, no, I'm not going to accept what the woman have said here. Then I put everything aside. I know Greek. I know Hebrew. And I went to do my own research because I do not want to teach anything that I know is not right. I went to do my own research on what she had done. I went through everything, and I discovered I agree with her that her research was real. So I didn't just follow the result of other scholars, but I did the research myself, tracing everything she did. So the real definition for the word desire, which is teshuka, in the Hebrew, it means the woman will now fight to be the head of the home, and the man need to fight to control his household. This is the problem we have today. And I know when you trace, I was looking at some, when I was doing research in these things here, and I read some documents that 50% of those who marry, they get divorced within a very short time. Why? You love the person that you love so dearly that you can't wait to marry. And then when you even sitting down at home, you're dreaming about the person. Now you people have gotten married. Why is it that person that you're now married to, you can't live happily with the person? The idea is domination. The curse upon her was to fight to dominate the man. And then the man is to fight back in other to do what? To control his household. So you see the text in there where they say your desire will be upon your husband and he will rule over you. Now how do we get these things here? Now let me just look at some clarity here. And I just love what this lady said here. Susan, I just love exactly the way she had it. And not only because she had it that way, because I did the research myself. And I realized that her conclusion was correct, and we can see it today. And one of the main examples, go to the court and ask. Every day, the divorce is going on, every day. Somebody wants to be the head of the house. Now, what she also concluded in there, that word teshuka, it occurs in several places in the Bible. Now, I want you to pay keen attention because I'm going to read those places. This is a Bible study. So, hey, pick up your Bible and read along with me, okay? Pick up your Bible. Now, I want you to pick up from Genesis 4:7. Genesis 4:7. If you got that, I'm reading it. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. Are you there? Okay. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is grudging at your door. It desires to have you. The sin wants to control you. Now, there was the same word used here between Adam and his wife was the same word that was used here when Abel was so angry because his brother sacrifice was accepted instead of him. So he was so angry and he wanted to do something to kill his brother. This is what it was. He said, now sin is at the door. And the word desire, that's an English word. And the word teshuka means it wants the sin want to control you, but you have to fight. But what happened in Abel, in King's case, he lost the battle. He gave into sin. So sin took control of him. And what did he do? He killed his brother. Listen carefully. It was the same word used at the desire here. It's the same Hebrew word, teskuka. Sin wants to control, to dominate you. But you will have to make sure that you don't give in to sin. Now, it's the same word that is used here in Genesis 3:16. And let me just go back there to read it because I want us to get this point. This is a major discussion. 16b. Your desire will be for your husband. That is here, you will want to control your husband, and he will fight to rule over you. That is the correct translation here. Over the here, that's been the problem. Over the here, that have been wrong translation in this case. Now, I want us to go to another book. Songs of Songs. I want you to go there. Song of Songs. Hear what Solomon says. Solomon says, but Solomon said this within a loving atmosphere. But the word control is in his tone. That's what I want us to listen to. Now, in Songs of Songs, chapter 7, if you got that, chapter 7, verse 10. I belong to my lover, Solomon said. And, I mean, the girl said, and her desire is for me. You see that? Come, my lover, let us go to the countryside. Let us spend the night in the village. Now, the desire of controlling is in here. She is saying, I belong to my lover, and he going to control me. So the idea of controlling. Now, the main argument and the main point that many scholars, and to be honest with you, recent scholars, great books that I just published recently, have discovered this error and they have corrected it. A recent commentary that came out, written by several theologians, respected people, they even changed this, and they made a reference to this latest research. That's how it have gone. Rob, are you there?
I am.
Okay. Yeah, do you have a note? You say you got a note there somewhere.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts. One thing to keep in mind when reading scripture, it's important to study the words in their original language.
Right.
But not just looking at just the individual word, but the context as a whole.
Good.
So when looking at this, we need to look at the text around it and what's happening thematically, as well as what's happening semantically.
Right.
And looking at that to interpret it. I've heard this presented both ways. And Genesis 3:16, you see it as one thought. It's not two separate thoughts. You know, unto
right.
the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. One thing that was interesting that I noticed there is when it says, I will greatly multiply.
Right.
The Hebrew is rabbah, and then it repeats again, rabbah. So it says it twice,
mm-hmm.
or doubly multiply your sorrow. But then it continues. It's talking about conception, and in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And remember, what was Adam's command in Genesis 1:28? To be fruitful and to multiply. And, of course, he has a helpmate with that.
Right.
So there's a desire that's there. But when we look at it and what's happening when they fell, you know, they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as I was thinking about this and praying about it, you know, we are finite beings. Yet now here they have this new knowledge. You know, if it wasn't a position that the woman was looking for. Well, actually, the word rule over is dominion.
Right.
To have dominion over. If this wasn't a positional thing, then what? Why is it that Scripture later tells us wives submit willingly to your husbands?
That's the point. You know,
I think it stems from contention, just as you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pride, flesh, the flesh and spirit waging war against each other. You know, double-minded man. You know, so there's a craving for man's position. Going back to why they fell.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it does seem to be a positional thing, desiring a position rather than something physical.
Right. See, this is the point. Now, let me just read to you a recent Bible study book that came out, was written by several scholars in this country. And in fact, they gave it out because of the importance of this book. They gave it out free. It is called Faith Life Study Bible. It was published in 2012. Now, on Genesis 3:16, this is what it said there, quote, "Then Eve's curse is a desire to control her husband. Sin has damaged the relationship between husband and wife. As a result, the two will compete for dominance instead of sharing authority in harmony as originally intended. This does not mean that hierarchy is a consequence of the fall. There are hints of it in the creation account. Example, the act of naming in Genesis 2:20. When God created man and his wife, originally they were in harmony. The word is that there was no one inferior. But the fall brought fight. This is what we have missed over the years. The fall, the curse upon the woman, and also the man is included, is to fight for who will lead the home. This is the fight today. And that's why many marriages cannot even last for 1 week. If you check on that, go on the internet and check. I was checking on something and they said 50% of marriages in this country to get into divorce within a very short time. Now, within a very short time, her conclusion was something that many people have accepted. And they didn't get accepted because she said it, it's a woman, but they themselves had to trace that myself. I went through it and traced it and traced all the research and then came and said, she is right. She is right. Because when you know the Hebrew and you know the Greek, and then you read it for yourself and come to the translations and how it was, you were surely just accepted. Now she said, it is very difficult in her conclusion that a word that was used in one area would be translated differently in another area with the same context, like what Rob have said. The context of the word, that's how we interpret scripture. Within the same context, you give it different interpretation, that's not correct. So the problem here, the reason why we have fight in marriages, divorce go on day by day, is the fight for dominance in the home. The solution to this is this. The solution is when both of you accept Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, what did Apostle Paul said? Paul said, woman, you need to respect your husband. Don't fight with him. Man, you need to love your wife. You see that? You are doing this, two of you doing this, under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It is only in Jesus Christ that a man and a woman can now live together in harmony, like Adam and Eve when they had not fallen. Let me repeat that. Only in Jesus Christ that a man and his wife will live in harmony like Adam and Eve when they had not fallen. So if you and your husband, even though you might be Christian, you might be in the church, you'll be doing, but if that respect of you respecting your husband loving you, if that curse has not been broken yet and it's always fight, you need to pray about it. That means something, the curse is still around. But in Christ, when Christ comes in, he changed everything around because the curse was thrown upon him. That's the joy we have. Our curse was thrown on Jesus. And so when we are in Christ, then we take that love and harmony that our parents had before the fall will come back to us. And a man and his wife supposed to live happily with mutual respect. That's the key point that we discuss. And this study is kind of, it's a very good study. It's a major study. And when you are in Christ, everything will change around. God is going to change everything around. See, Paul himself talked about this. Wife, respect your husband. And because of time, we can't go through all of the text, but you can look at Ephesians 5:21-33. You can look at it. And Colossians, the texts are there. I think they're on the slides. But the help there, and what we need to understand is when you are in Christ, when Christ is in your life, you are a changed person. You're not living under the curse anymore. For that reason, that harmony, that oneness that was between Adam and Eve prior to their fall would now be with you and your husband to live in peace, with respect, with mutual respect for each other in the home. If that is lacking, then you got to pray. If somebody is still praying to dominate or to see the person, other person as an inferior person, you know, then you're not getting back to the original state of life for which Christ died on the cross. Christ paid for that. So the thing is, as the problem we have today, for which many people are going to court, they marry within a week time, they divorce the following day, is the fight for leadership in the home. It is in the text. And it is happening today. All right. Now, if you have any questions, if you have any comments, just resolve it. We're going to come to it just now. And you can send me an email with your question. And we're going to answer it, Rob and myself. But this study is important. We have a short time. Even if we have a longer time, you will have more time to process this idea. It took a long time. It took scholars over the years to study this, and we all study it, and we bring in the fact that is hurting family today. We bring those facts out. They have been reading. Several scholars have accepted this idea, and not just accepting, but they have done the study themselves. As I speak, I told you, I did a study myself. Not because I read it from somebody research, but I read the Hebrew, I read the Greek, I went through it myself, and I realized that really, you cannot use a word within the same context, and then in another area you said, no, that's not it. You can't do that. So the third problem was the ground. And Adam were cursed. Now we're talking about the fall. After the fall, God punished them. And that's what we're discussing. The third punishment was the ground. Many people think, Dr. Robert C. Habersch, he thinks that the first curse was pronounced against a human being was on Cain alone, but not on everybody. But if you can look at the text very carefully, God placed Adam and Eve in a garden and to be caretaker. And they were not to do the kind of work that we are doing today. You got to, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. It's a curse in itself. See, so man had a way that we had to serve the law. We were serving God. But our sin, the sin that we committed, caused us now to be what? To be working hard working hard and sweating to get food to eat. Now, let me just bring back to our modern days, okay? Because way back then, it was farming. But today, for you now, you have to work, all right? You have to leave your work, you have to leave your home and work whole day. If you don't work, you're not going to get money. See that? So you got to sweat. If they are paying you $50 per hour, they're going to get that $50 out of you. See, and sometimes some people are even unpaid. See, sometimes you are learning doing about 2% job and they're giving you 1 man's salary. This happened. Those things happen. I have a friend who working somewhere and he had a team, you know, but there are people who the enemy is fighting against. See, men suffer because of the sin that we committed. We have already concluded in our previous discussion. If you have never listened to those videos, please do. All right, we concluded even though the woman did it act, but Adam was on the scene and he did nothing. And we concluded in our discussion that Adam was responsible for what happened. He was responsible, not the woman. All right. Now, the fourth thing in the curse that was pronounced, death reigns over man because of sin. Hey, Rob. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, you told me you have a note on this. Death reigns over man because of sin. What do you say?
So talking about the curse on the ground, if anybody's been a farmer, and you think about everything that you have to do, trying to grow anything, you've got to contend with barren soil, mm-hmm. insects, thorns mm-hmm. and thistles, animals, all these things that make it very hard to grow a crop, and it requires lots and lots of care and watching over to ensure that you can bring your crop to harvest. So I find it hard to believe that this would be on Cain. And it's looking in the text, Cain hadn't been introduced yet to us mm-hmm. At this point. We learn about Cain a little bit later. So it doesn't seem that it's just on Cain, even though he was a crop farmer.
Right. Right. And to say that the curse was only on Cain, that is unbiblical. This is the fact. And nobody can agree to that kind of research. Because Cain had not been introduced, as you rightly said, Rob. He had not been introduced into the picture.
Yes.
See? So I agree with what you say. He had not been introduced into the picture. So why must he take the responsibility? But he came in later on. Because the curse was upon the ground and Adam. And then Adam, Hakim, and Abel, and Seth. So the curse of tolling the ground came upon the children. So at that time, it was not. But the point we're trying to make here is that sin brings about death. What the enemy did to Adam and Eve, he said to them, you will not die. Actually, you're not going to die. But the day you eat this of this tree, you will be like God. But hear what one brother said. He's the founding pastor for this church, Spanish River Church. He's a great evangelist. He had planted over 200 Sambo churches around the world. But he said that the thing people don't understand, the thing that happened to Adam and Eve is happening to us today. When we commit sin, he's called spiritual censor. He said we have five senses that we can communicate with each other, But we have those senses to communicate with God. And whenever we do wrong thing, we commit sin, our sensor will die. As a result, we will not be able to understand spiritual things. And that is, I think he's right. Because when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, the first thing they did was what? They ran. They started covering themselves, put on leaves. They ran from the presence of God. See, that sensor was lust. But the joy is, in Christ, we are going to regain. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God will give you back that ability that you can communicate with him. This is the joy we have. So, sin does so many things. It's a problem when the sin happens with a woman and with a man. They love each other. They were at harmony. I mean, they loved living together, but then they began to fight each other. Who wanted to be the leader? It was sin. When sin gets in anything, it will destroy it. And the thing that sin will bring it is leadership. Who will be the leader here? That's been the problem. But all can be corrected, as I said, in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are three key things we need to remember from Adam and Eve episode. Three things as we conclude this teaching tonight. Three things. That God is the creator of all things. This will be fully discussed in our next study. The marriage in the Garden of Eden started with God and ended with him. God did everything and gave Adam a beautiful wife. It was God that did it, not man. Adam was the head of the household in the creation order. But Eve was his partner to guard, protect, and do some things that he could not do. He could not bear children. This was not a subordinate role at all. It was not. See, for many years, people have taught this, but the point here is God is in control of all that we do. He is our God. He's in control. As we conclude this section today, we need to note and believe that God's punishment for sin is embedded with his blessing. Whenever God is punishing, know carefully his blessing is in the picture. Within the punishment of Eve and Adam stands the promised Redeemer. From the seed of the woman, whenever something is going on in your life, a problem, the blessing is right side there. God is always there to bless. We all know that sin cannot go unpunished. But within that, we see that God is there to bless his people. Now, God will bring restoration in Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. He is our King. He is our Redeemer. And only he can do it. The death that we face today, when Christ returns in the heavenly kingdom, when we return to paradise, there will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow, because we all are going to be in the presence of God. See, there are issues. Next week, we have another major discussion, and I want you to invite somebody. Now, with all the discussion that we have had concerning Adam, Eve, he got married, God created all things. There are many people today, even some Christians, they do not believe this story. They call themselves Christians. So what we're going to do next week is we are going to prove to you about the true existence of Adam and Eve. That is a major discussion, because with all that we have discussed here, we need to prove. And all those who are against science, evolutionary theory, and all these various isms you can think about, we need to prove to you how they are wrong, how they are wrong, how they are wrong, and so that you will know that the faith you have in Christ is real. So thank you for listening tonight. We just got 2 more minutes to go. But anyway, we want to give room. If anybody has questions to ask, we want to give time. If you have that question to ask, please do. Any question? Anybody have question to ask? Let me unmute everybody, but I hope we don't get noise now. Okay, everyone is unmuted. So if you have question, all right, okay, ask your question.
It's the topic today was because I just came from Tennessee. The topic today was it the on the divorce that or it was just continuation of what we
do. It's on the continuation of what we do, but the point we're trying to raise there is what bring about divorces today is the fight for dominance in the home.
Okay, the fight for dominance. But that, my next question then is that, was there not a biblical rule that God gave to Adam as head of that home?
The biblical rule does not mean that the woman was inferior. All right, as we learn in part one. All right, in part one, Adam and
right.
They were partner. When you look at the word Ezra in the Hebrew, they were partner. But when the fall came about, they began to fight for leadership. This is what the word Tezuka means. The word desire there, it means Tezuka, and it is the fight for leadership. And this is the fight we have today in the world. The leadership role is no question, it's not argued here. Because in scripture, the man is the head of the home. But because of the fall, fight comes for leadership in the home. In Christ, when you are now in Christ,
okay,
there should be no more fight. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 5:22 and Colossians 3:18, he said, woman, respect your husband in the normal way as in the Garden of Eden, in a sense. And man, love your wife. So in Christ, the whole curse changed around. But the reason why more people fighting, people love each other, and within the space of 10 minutes, when they get married, they're in court. Is that the man want to rule, the woman said, no, I'm going to rule. So all the fight we have today is that. And I was just looking at our research, 50% of people that get married. You get 100% getting married this week, by 2 weeks.
So is there
50% will go to court?
Is there a fact?
Hello.
Right.
Hello. Yeah, coming. Yeah, look, you have internet problem. Hello. Okay. While he's coming in, if anybody have question, our time. If anybody have question, when he gets
right.
To, okay. Are you okay?
So is there a parallel between Egypt and Genesis? And hello, Dad.
Yeah, I'm listening to you.
Hello.
Hello, I'm getting you. Yeah, go ahead.
So is there a parallel?
Hello. Okay, he gone. We lost him.
Hello, Dad. Yeah. No, I'm still there. Sorry for the interruption.
Yeah, we lost you. We lost you, Dad. We lost you at all. I think you're
okay. Okay. No. Problem. It's raised. You answer all the.
Okay. Okay. Anybody? Our time is gone. Anybody got a question? We give you.
All right. I'm okay. I'm okay. That you can send to another person. I'm okay.
Okay. All right. Anybody else here? Okay. Thank you. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you tonight for our time of Bible study, Lord. We pray that you would just help us, give us the understanding. We thank you for this lesson. And Lord, as we go ahead next week to defend the existence of Adam and Eve as a true human being on this earth, Lord, we pray that you will strengthen us and have your will. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, thank you. Come back next week. Invite somebody. All right, invite